And welcome to the Hagman Report. It is Thursday, March 12th, 2026. With me tonight is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, just a prolific author and, of course, just check out all of his intellectual products from his books to his DVDs at stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Links will be in the program description box at hagmanpi.com. Just one thing I want to say, obviously today we saw the attack at a Michigan synagogue by a naturalized U.S. citizen from Lebanon. This attack at the Michigan synagogue, obviously a supporter of the cult of Islam. It's not a religion. And then, of course, you have the shooting in at Old Dominion University, of course. Now, that is by a follower of ISIS. Let's see here. The name, of course, is Arabic. Muhammad Baylor Jalla. He was sentenced in 2017 to 11 years in prison for attempting to provide material support to ISIS. Yet, let me do the math on this. Let's see. He was sentenced in 2017. So you take 11, add that on to 17, and you come up with this 2028. All right. What is this? 20. Help me out, guys. This is 2026, right? All right. Here's what I'm getting. Oh, and then to add misery on top of everything else, you have the prosecutor where this occurred. A Soros-funded prosecutor, no less, coming out and blaming all of this, not on the cult of Islam. No, it's the fault of the gun-loving American citizen. Folks, I'm going to end here in 30 seconds. I'm going to turn this over to Steve. I'm going to back away from this microphone because if I don't, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pretty. Here's the situation, in my view. All of you people out there who are blaming Jews, it's the Jews! Blaming Israel. Look, or not Israel, but the religion of Judaism. In my view, you've got blood on your hands. You have blood on your hands. Okay, because number one, you're stupid as hell. You're stupid as shit.
Yeah.
Because you're falling for a flipping psyop. And number two, well, I can just stop right there because, you know, I'm just like, so that's the attacks against the Jews. It's you. Just keep it up. Keep it up. It's the Jews. Go ahead. Keep it up because you're too stupid. You're too intellectually and spiritually bankrupt to go anywhere else. And then one more thing to the people, to the core problem here, and that is the Islamic invasion. What would you expect after the Biden regime, Ali Bayorkas, and, you know, Brennan, who converted to Islam? What do you expect? You expect a different result? There are certain fish you don't mix together in an aquarium. It just doesn't work. It's like when I was younger, I had an aquarium of piranhas. Yeah, it's weird that way, right? You certainly don't want to mix goldfish in there. But you can. Yeah, you can. But what are you expecting the results to be? But see, we warned you about this. I warned you about this personally back in right after 9/11. And of course, the other thing too, which pops in my head, you got that New York City Muslim communist mayor, you know, sitting on the floor in City Hall. You've all seen that the video of that, I'm sure. I'm not going to play it because I just can't. Folks, what do you expect? It's a communist Islamic takeover, and the rest is psyops. You're falling for a psyop, and you're stupid. Okay, you're flat out stupid. And if you got a problem with me saying that, if you fit that bill, if you fit that, just be gone. Go with God. I'll talk to the rest of you. With me, stevequayle.com. I'm done, by the way. With me, stevequayle.com. Steve Quayle, thanks for joining me. Come on board and let's rock.
Well, thank you, Doug. And again, I couldn't share your sentiments more exactly than that. You're kind. I'm telling you this, morons.
Restrained.
Yes, restraint. Well, you know, and I have none tonight, okay? So I just want you to know that. Here's the deal. We're out of time. We're out of money. We have no moral imperative. We have no standing in the global community. The United States is being isolated unto destruction. I won't pull any punches. All of the counselors of the Presidential Ministry Council, listen, they won't call it like it is. They'll only flatter with ears that are receptive to flattery, and shame on them in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to share something, ladies and gentlemen. I remember when Doug and I were dealing with the whole Islamic terrorism thing, and the first, you know, when it really manifested itself. And what's astonishing to me is, if you remember the laws we had at one point, they're all gone, ladies and gentlemen. And Bidenstein, the monster, in my opinion, the abomination of damnation, in my opinion, all of the people that have destroyed this country from within prompted me to come up with a statement: rape, pillage, and plunder the United States. In those days, that is going under. Now it's, we've been raped, we've been pillaged, we've been plundered, and now we're going under, and there's no way back. The political theater is a theater of the absurd. Well, you know, God is no respecter of persons. That means the masks that everybody wears. But if you've noticed the Republicans, I call them zombie cons. If you notice the demon rats, the Democrats, everyone is silent in the biggest batch of horse manure, and what I call it is monkey manure mindset. And because, you know, I mean, you can obviously substitute words, but I want people to understand tonight what the title of this show is. And the title of tonight's show is Fire and Misery, America's Future Ahead. Fire and Misery. I absolutely am appalled. I'm furious. I'm pissed off. I'm infuriated. If I've already said that word, then let it be doubled. At the way the American public is being treated by the political piranhas on the Potomac of self-indulgence, that little people don't matter, that the middle class is destroyed. By the way, I said it would happen, and I said it was happening before our eyes, and nobody gave a darn. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, you have the middle class destroyed. You have the elitists, the richest people in the world, basically figuring out ways to control your thoughts, my thoughts, and our thoughts. So fire and misery. I'm talking nuclear fire, and I'm talking untold misery. Oh, you're such a fearmonger. I want to say this to those people that say that, go to hell, because that attitude will take you there faster than anything. Well, you shouldn't say that. Yes, I should, because there's a complete a disassociation with reality in this country. How can you think things are going to change? The jobs are destroyed before your eyes. Obviously, I was one of the strongest voices against AI, telling everybody where this is going to lead. And I tell people, Doug, you know this, and those of you who get the Glyph Report, you know every single political move and every single politician, with few exceptions, are under the control of supernatural, fallen angel influence and demonic possession. Demonic possession. So, fire and misery, that's what awaits. And I want, Eric, if you put up the first scripture, please. This is important, because I believe this fits today. And I'll read them, Doug, because, you know, I mean, this is on my heart. This is Jeremiah 18, and it's out of the potter's house, which God basically says, look, you're the clay and I'm the potter. I can do with you as I see fit. At what moment I might suddenly speak concerning a nation or kingdom that I will uproot and break down and destroy? If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent and reverse my decision concerning the devastation I intended to do. Or at another time, I might suddenly speak about a nation or kingdom that I will build or establish. And if they do evil in my sight, now listen to this, this is really important. And if they do evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will reverse my decision concerning the good which I had promised to bless them. Now then, say to the men of Judah and to the citizens of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster and working out a plan plan against you. Turn back each of you from his evil way. Correct your habits and change your actions for the better. But they will say that that's hopeless. But we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act in accordance with the stubbornness of his evil heart. And I think there is that the final, or is there one more? There we go. Nope, that's it. And now, Eric, if you put up the second one, and we're going to dig deep into this whole subject. Now, this is Jesus talking. I'm using the Amplified Bible because it's easier for a lot of people to read. By the way, the words that are substituted are put in by real original translation. Whoever receives and welcomes one child like this in my name and receives me, but whoever, I'm sorry, my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble and sin by leading him away from my teaching, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone as large as one turned by a donkey hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, whoa, that's not a good thing. That's not, God's not saying, yo, he's saying, whoa, judgment is coming to the world because of stumbling blocks and temptations to sin. It is inevitable stumbling blocks come, but woe to the person on whose account or through whom the stumbling blocks come. And I think of, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I think of where we as a nation have fallen to. We have fallen in the same gutters, the same sewers that carry the blood of the innocents, that carry the sacrificial blood and the flesh that they don't flush down the drain. And so our freedoms are gone. And the moral cowardice and the, I would say this, the aloofness from people speaking up. Look, I'm on record, and now it's even more firm in my spirit, that God said before he allows Russia, and I believe Russia's raised up to bring God's judgment upon the United States. I love the country that was one nation under God, that our anthem, national anthem used to proclaim. But when you saw the abomination of desolation on the stage, he wouldn't even lift his hand and put it over his heart when he, you know, they were saying Pledge of Allegiance. Where did the Pledge of Allegiance go? Where do the globalists bleeping want to take us? They want to destroy everyone they can't control. And people better wake up. I'll say it this way. You better wake the heaven up or you're going to end in hell. And there's nobody that's going to redeem you because you rebuked and refused to listen to the correction of the living God. Now, look, you can have every political opinion you want, but there's a foundation for truth. And this nation has rejected Jesus Christ, plain and simple. All of the, in my opinion, I will say all, the majority, 99% of the pastors are basically nothing more than tricksters and nothing more than entertainers. And the true gospel of Jesus Christ has been silent from the church. And the people that are carrying the message, Doug, they're carrying the message, they're scorned, they're ridiculed. And if you live in Canada, you're thrown in jail. If you live in Britain, you're thrown in jail. And the whole world is at war with the Lord Jesus Christ. And henceforth, ladies and gentlemen, nuclear war, I'll tell you this, you don't have to believe it. Actually, a couple people I knew didn't believe me when I told them this. But, and this is a true fact, Israel attacked the North Korean embassy in Iran, and also the Chinese. The reason you didn't hear about the Chinese embassy is because China's going to allow North Korea to basically launch the big one. The North Korean weapons development exceeds the United States, in especially in hypersonic missiles. We don't got them, they got them. And that's making all the difference in the world. The situation is, let me get to the Straits of Hormuz, you know, I call it the whore cows or moose. I'm not trying to be clever, but what I'm saying is that you can beat the world with the biggest mallet or sledgehammer and make the most outlandish claims. We're going to open that up with our military. No, you're not. Here's something, Doug, that most people didn't know, and I didn't know until I was clued in, brought in, and told how international shipping moves only with insurance on both the ship and the cargo. And the cargo's, listen, the cargo's insured, and Lloyd's of London and some of the reinsurers are there literally to watch the cargo. cargo, loaded onto ships, and they're there when the cargo is being unloaded. And from the time it's put on the ship until the time it's come off the ship, that's the only time it's covered, with no Lloyd's of London or any of the insurance companies that will insure ships. Look, they can say all they want. Washington can, you know, beat the drum. And yes, I am opposed to Washington. I'm opposed to the government. I'm opposed to the destruction of the American people. I'm opposed. And I really don't give a darn, that, oh, you're such a negative person. You'd better be negative, everyone, because your life hangs in a balance. So I said last night, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Because it was intervention that stopped North Korea from firing a nuclear 3-megaton warhead. Well, gee, how would I know that? Somebody had to tell me. Against Israel. So, and Eric, would you just put up that Facebook post so people can tell I'm not BSing them? Because I have to be sure of what I say, and I have to have evidence. I know, listen, the craziest thing I know is people that listen to talk radio and podcasts, and they want proof from the lying, damnable, heretical press. Well, gee, that's I haven't read it. Read that, Doug. Just a headline. That's all you got to read.
Breaking: Kim Jong-un says Israel has made a big mistake to hit its embassy in Tehran.
So, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. You know, this is a real story, but they didn't post China. Now, China's really smart because they're going to allow Kim Jong-un to basically fire the first nuke. And, you know, I'm only telling you that point blank, in the last 72 hours, today's Thursday. Thanks for letting me know that, Doug. I know it's Thursday when I'm on with you. And, the Pakistanis have given deliverable nuclear weapons, warheads, to put on the ballistic missiles that Iran has. And Iran has more missiles than the United States. It has more missiles than anybody in the world. They have anticipated this day, and they've been building underground where we don't have any nuclear weapons, bunker busters, and the big badass 30,000 pound bombs. That's like a pea shooter trying to take on a charging water buffalo. It ain't gonna help. It isn't gonna work. So back to the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz will not open up. At least this was the last week statement, that until there's peace in the Middle East for 60 days. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I and we don't recognize that the price of gas is rising, that diesel is expected to go to $15 a gallon, and diesel always runs more. That'll bring trucking to a standstill. It will bring railroads to a standstill. It will absolutely, meaning it'll obsolete, it will make the trucking industry of no importance, because there's no place to go, and there's no goods that will travel by truck, because everything that's important has been blocked from coming in the United States. Now, let's go to the Middle East. The Middle East is recognizing that the promises that were made, that all of our missiles and our interceptors and our Patriots and our THAAD, you know, all of our missile systems would protect the Middle East. How did that work out, ladies and gentlemen? And for the record, now we have to fast forward to Operation Sandman. And Operation Sandman is when the nations of the world, but starting with the Arab nations, repudiate the U.S. dollar. And the repudiate means they won't take it anymore. And that's even a law after January in Saudi Arabia. Look, you want your ships loaded? We want gold. We want silver. We want a commodity that's based, for instance, a bushel of wheat, whatever they want. And so what happens now? Well, the West goes and bombs the desalinization plants. The West denying that we targeted a school. Look, here's the deal. Forget Israel. Forget the United States. This is pure evil. Those are just the agents. And I would say this, Doug, the whole world lies in the evil one. And if you read the last Glyph report, the Glyph team spanning every continent and multiple PhD people, they had to go through over, I think, 200 to 500 different glyphs. And in the latest glyph report, you will see there's not one detail that Lucifer, and he demands his worshipers refer to him as that, okay? He absolutely has every single leadership. The whole world lies in the evil one. And the word whole, it's not whole minus, whole plus. So where are we as the believers, and I would say this, the lack of receivers as a nation of God's further blessing. So I got to make people understand, and I pray, God, how do I deal with the words over all the years you've given to me? And I've given them freely, and I've given them forcefully. But at the end, Doug, I still get the dumb, fecal, contaminated brains sending me the stupid statements. But you know what I've learned? Why pay attention to anonymous cowards? Because the cowards go into the lake of fire with the fearful and the unbelieving. So, you know, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Doug and I and everybody who's really telling the truth, we're up against an AI army. And that AI isn't just a machine that's come to sentience. In other words, I can think for itself. They are demon-infused, technologically hypnotic entities that are suckering in humans like it would be impossible without AI. So you're watching the biggest money in the world paying for the technology that's going to kill the largest number of people in the world. And so we've watched all the famous chains of restaurants, they're not all going broke, but they're sure cutting back. We're watching a drought now that's an engineered drought due to geoengineering and weather warfare. We're watching famine on the horizon. And all you have to do is go to a store that sells real meat, not some of the big box stores that have already been proven to be selling, this is my word, mucus meat, okay? It's not even meat. And all of the shit, I'm sorry for that, but the literal a contamination of children's cereal, you know, it is mind-boggling. So, you know, the amount of death in a cereal box is off the charts. The amount of death in artificial cheese is off the chart. And anybody who's involved, and you should thank a farmer, those of you with substance, with money, you should absolutely do anything you can to keep the local farmer in business, because a fertilizer has been cut off by the sanctimonious, self-righteous sanctions on Russia. We got the majority of our fertilizer from Russia. Oh, and guess what, everyone? Petroleum. Yeah, it takes fuel to run a tractor. And the drought monitor, and maybe we can find it in the second hour, Eric, if you could find it. You know, I want people to understand, this is the worst drought in history. Iran is suffering a huge drought. And so what do the dumbasses in the West do? They blow up the desalinization. It was on that single aspect, I was told, that Operation Sandman was kicked in behind the scenes, and all of the most, I should say this, the richest, the wealthiest governments in the Middle East, you know, everybody from Dubai to Saudi Arabia. I mean, you're talking a lot of money, especially in Dubai. All the money that fled to Dubai is saying goodbye to Dubai because they're going other places. They're going into places like, Hong Kong, Singapore, and there's deals being made. And any nation that can protect its depositors can welcome hundreds of trillions of dollars that will not be available anymore. Nobody's going to buy U.S. T-bills, T-bonds, or T-notes, okay? Because they don't want their financial throats cut. Operation Sandman is when the Federal Reserve declares force majeure, meaning they can't do anything about it. It's an act of God. It wasn't God. It was their own greed. That's a good T-shirt. I'm going to get that. Don't blame God. Blame greed, okay? If somebody wants to, design that as a T-shirt, send me the design. I'm more than happy to pay a couple $100 PayPal, but I want it to be expressive, and I'm not kidding, okay? I always pay. When I say I'll do something like that, I do it. So in essence, ladies and gentlemen, we are all facing starvation. And I can't imagine the insanity I can't imagine the denial. I can't even embrace the stupidity of people that can look at Lake Mead and see the water levels, that can look at Lake Powell, the two largest reservoirs in the desert Southwest, fed by the Colorado River. The Colorado River is at record low. The snowpack in the Rockies, it's snow that feeds the reservoirs. It's not a rainstorm, okay? And obviously, well, the desert Southwest, and you've got in Northern California, you have record snowfall. And I want to go on record, Doug, and you know this, because we talked when that book came out, Weather Wars and Unnatural Disasters. You know, I had, I talked about it. And then Dane Wigington, you know, picked up and did geoengineeringwatch.org. And he did a remarkable job of documenting even LBJ, you know, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the former vice president, until he personally watched. And I was told this by a really powerful Illuminous / international banker's son. He literally watched from his limousine the moment that Kennedy was shot. He was tipped off, and a lot of people blame him for it. Okay. I'm not going that far, but I'm saying, why would a guy who's the vice president take out the president? Simple. He wanted to be the president. And it was John F. Kennedy that came against the international bankers. And that's what got him assassinated. So the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you mess with money, you're inviting disaster. And in essence, we're watching right now the takedown takeover. And I maintain the United States has already gone under. No definition that can, no actions can change that, because as we're on the air tonight, Doug, and, you know, as far as I know, it's still 2026, March 12th, the point of global financial collapse is accelerating behind the scenes. Deutsche Bank couldn't even fund, they couldn't sell their German bonds. You know, they listen, everyone, people are broke, and governments are totally broke, and governments are pariahs. They will go, actually, piranhas, Doug. And by the way, I had a friend that had piranhas in his aquarium, too. And let's just say this, nothing else could be put in the aquarium except one thing, okay? And they didn't have Democrats or zombie cons in those days that would fit in the aquarium. Those would eat the piranhas and come out smiling and say, well, we did everything we could to protect the piranhas. For political piranhas on the Potomac of self-indulgence. Again, I want to say it, political piranhas on the Potomac of self-indulgence. So here's where we're at now. And I mean, we're right at this point. People don't understand derivatives is a pile of bull manure that reaches to higher than the Tower of Babel, some people pronounce it. And essence, lie upon lie, lying investment upon lying investment. And I said this a long time ago. Imagine putting monkey manure. I like that. You know, that's less offensive to people who are so easily offended, but they don't care about the babies. I'm going to come back to them. They don't care about the Epstein files. They don't care about Jeffrey Epstein doing live vivisections. In other words, surgically taking children apart and filming it all in real time. They don't care about all the politicos, the potentates, and the pedophiles that are exposed. And again, you and I know, God bless Craig Sawyer, God bless Russ Dizdar, God bless his team, but very few people will put their lives on the line. By the way, I talked to Craig yesterday, maybe it was even today, I'm sorry, in the last 24 hours. And, you know, kudos to him. But here's the deal. We're watching the destruction of the little children. We're watching the even beyond gold, child trafficking is the best moneymaker in the world. I don't think people can put that through their brains. 350,000 children disappear all through. And then I want to share this because, well, forgive me, thank you for letting me share it. But what's incredible is, for those of you familiar with David Wilkerson's vision, 1972-73, he saw New York going on fire when certain events, and I'm talking fire, when Germany defaulted, Then it spread to Japan, and then in 2 weeks later, it spread to the United States. Now, somebody said, no, you've got that wrong. It's Japan, and then it's Germany. Well, when did it get destroyed? When did it come to completion in the United States? Well, they can argue, but guess what? In 2 weeks. So now we're at a dilemma. The reason why we're spending $50 billion a day, you know, on the war in Iran and other places, obviously, everything we've done, when we backed the Ukraine and gave away our stockpiles or backup supplies for U.S. military, we do not have the bombs. We do not have the bullets. We don't even have enough missiles for our missile cruisers. And you can make them only so fast. But yet Iran hasn't stopped for 20 years. They're a sophisticated, technologically advanced country. And I'm on record. Why can't they have nuclear weapons? Where's the West bitching about North Korea's nuclear weapons? And there's so many nuclear weapons in so many countries that the International Atomic Energy Agency doesn't even acknowledge, but they're there. So, you know, it's kind of like, that movie back in the late 60s, early 70s. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the forum, and there was a song in that called Everybody Has to Have a Maid. It was, I think, Sid Caesar or somebody sang it, but now it's Everybody Has to Have an Atom Bomb. And so, when people recognize this, that when you blow up an embassy and you do it on purpose, and remember, Doug, we have some of the most sophisticated weapons. They brag they can get within a foot, you know. Actually, Russia can get within 6 inches. But there's no excuse. And I'm telling you point blank, that school of whatever, 168 children, that was no accident. And the first comment that came out of Washington, well, we didn't do it. The Iranians did them to himself. And then that whole thing has been reversed. So, you know, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, you know. And you as an investigator knows when you're investigating leads, the people that start changing their stories, they're persons of interest. Is this not right? I mean, is this not true in your area? Because they can't keep their stories straight. And the point is that America has lost all credibility. Now, I'm telling you guys everything that I know, well, within reason, that is going on in the background. Kim Jong-un, unless he gets the apology, and I don't know the parameters of that apology, but 5 minutes is all that kept basically Israel from being destroyed in a 3-megaton nuclear warhead. By the way, the United States has whatever, 2 megatons, but North Korea has up to 5 megatons. Russia has up to 100 megatons. And so what's astonishing to me is we're watching the West implode. We're watching such double crossing and triple crossing, especially with France and Britain. And we're watching Western Europe being smitten with what I would call transfused moronic children's blood. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of the heap, I know of no exceptions. I know of no exceptions. They're all cannibals. Even, I won't say which famous rock star, but it came out in 2010 that he was on a famous billionaire's yacht, and they were having nice hors d'oeuvres of human flesh. Human flesh! So, ladies and gentlemen, and the blood of the innocents. So back to what Jesus said, it'd been better for them to never have been born and have a millstone around their neck, you know, than to cause these little ones to stumble. And I absolutely, listen, I don't have any word. Maybe you can come up with a word. I'm not trying to, you know, trick you or anything, but I can't even come up with words. Even I make them up, heinous, demonic, wicked, appetite of demons. I that's all I can go to because this is so out of the parameter. Yet look at this nation. We won't stand up for the innocents. We won't hear preachers talking about children are being sacrificed, children are being trafficked. And meanwhile, they sing and clap, you know, and are entertained in the perpetual entertainment factories called God-denying churches, Ichabodtorians. and they don't even know that the Lord has departed from them. That was in Dmitri Dudeman's statement when the angel asked, or Dmitri asked the angel, why will America burn? And the angel said, because America has abandoned its God, and it's and the church has allowed all this sewage to come into it. So ladies and gentlemen, whose report are you going to believe? Go ahead and believe the lying people that are laying hands on the president in the presidential office. I mean, some of those people, they're not just characters, but they lack character. And so what counsel would go in there and say, thus saith the Lord, repent, repent, repent. And if you don't, in 40 days, God didn't tell me to do it. In 40 days, you'll be no more. And so in essence, it's not my negativity, your negativity. It's not the political arena of the absurd. It's God has a controversy with the nations, and he is going to demonstrate to the world that he means business. And when there's no fear of God in the land, there is no God in the land. When there is no lifting up Jesus Christ, there is no conviction by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not speak of himself, Jesus said. And I'm tired of the wimps and the anonymous, some say they're anonymous cowards, you know. I'm too worried about being on the list. You know, you should worry that you're not on the list. Because again, you know, we're watching good men and women. I mean, good, not morally good, but they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, call no man good. There's only one good, and that's your Father in heaven. And when they came to Jesus and said, good teacher, he said, nope, don't call me good. And now this is Jesus, the Son of God. There's none good except your Father, which is in heaven. So that's one thing that really torques me about, you know, and I know that, you know, there are so many people that are raised Catholic and they call Holy Father. There's nothing holy about the Pope. There's nothing. Holiness is a unique aspect that the Lord God of heaven is unique to him. And there is nobody else in history that can take his place. And there's nobody else in history that can take the place of Jesus Christ. And the if you will, the censoring of the name of Jesus is the most obvious, tactic of the enemy. And when they convert to Talmudic Judaism as Gentiles, they have to agree to never name the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Doug. I need to take some water. My steam valve just blew.
Well, all right. So yeah, you covered a lot of ground there. So I'm kind of a simple guy, okay, in terms of right and wrong, good versus evil. I condemn, by the way, I condemn the people who are bloodlusting for war as much as I condemn the pussies out there that that refuse to stand up for America first. I'm not talking about Israel, for America first. That's number one. Number two, as I look back over history, I see something that I hear very few people talk about. Since the 90s, I'll say post-Reagan, I guess, the one president that stands out as conducting the most war operations or military operations across the planet is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton used military force more frequently than any other president in American history over the last 50 years. Okay. That includes Iraq, where he used cruise missiles in Iraq. Also Sudan and Afghanistan. How many people remember Sudan, the aspirin factory in Sudan? You remember that? Oh, yeah, aspirin factory. Oh, no, it's a WMD. No, it's an aspirin factory. The deaths caused there. And then, of course, Haiti, when you had the 1994 intervention, which, by the way, also produced some pretty interesting cargo, shall we say. And then, of course, Bosnia and Kosovo. And I can go on and on. So the people that were in power back then, and there are, believe it or not, still are some in Congress. I don't hear a lot of bitching about Clinton. Just saying. Or the continuation under Obama, or actually Bush in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then, of course, you have Obama, his wars, continuing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then Biden's cluster of fluck of in Afghanistan, Kabul, you know, pulling out and giving the biggest air base over to ISIS and subsequently the Chinese, leaving all that military equipment. Who's bitching? Who's bitching about that today? Oh, that's right. Nobody. Okay, so I'm a big fan of consistency, Steve. I'm a big fan of consistency. If you're going to condemn one, you're going to condemn all of them. Okay?
Agreed.
And if you're going to condemn the Jews, then you better damn well condemn the Christians who are bloodlusting, bloodthirsty after the blood of innocents. If you're going to, they're all bad. Okay. So you have bad in all. But to bring it more recent, here's what I see. And by the way, you were talking about Operation Sandman. Just so people understand the context of that. Yeah, it's a video game. Yeah, it's this and that. But Operation Sandman, a lot of people are going to hear that and say, well, that's a bullshit conspiracy theory. Oh, you know what? Maybe it is. But here's the concept behind this, Sandman, okay, which is not a conspiracy theory. The concept is this over 100 countries, roughly, at least 100 countries, if not more, planning a coordinated effort to dump the U.S. dollar and U.S. Treasury bonds at the same time. What's happening right now? Hello, is this thing on? Is this working? Huh. What's happening right now? And you say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. What, because of the name? Shut up. And then last, I'll close with this, Steve. You know, I don't believe for one second that President Trump went into Iran blindly. Hold the thought. I don't believe that he went into Venezuela for A, regime change, or B, narco-terrorism. I think there was kind of this strategy to what Trump did, and that involved Venezuela, involves oil, the free flow of oil, which really has pushed up the petrodollar for the last half century or century. Is it going to work? Hell if I know. I don't know. You tell me. Are prices going to go up? Damn right they are. But here's the last thing I'm going to close with. If I got a neighbor that's threatening to kill me all the time, hey, I'm going to kill you, and calling me a pedophile, like that fat fuck over there in in Alaska, that who was that piece of shit? That, by the way, I'm coming after you, okay? To the guy and Steve, I haven't talked to you about this, but we're coming after that piece of shit. But anyway, if I got somebody that keeps calling me a pedophile and keeps saying I'm going to kill you, I'm going to blow you up, I'm going to blow up your house, I'm going to rape your wife, before I do that, I'm going to take over your house. You're damn right. I'm going to take him out first. Just try me. So after 47 years of that crap all across the board, finally, we have somebody that says, okay, enough. I get it. You know what? You're taking us over from within through your ideology, communist/Muslim ideology. You're taking us over. You're threatening to bomb the crap out of us. The great Satan, notice Israel is second to this. And I would argue, too, if we were fighting anyone on anyone's behalf, it would be Saudi Arabia, but then I digress. But nonetheless, so I'm going to take my neighbor out, or the person across the field or across the way. I'm going to take him out first before he can come over and you know, kill my dog, rape my wife, and then blow up my house. I'm going to do that first. I guarantee friggin' to you. I promise you that's going to happen.
I believe that, Doug. I believe that.
I'm okay with this right now. Right now, I'm okay with this. However, to the Lindsey Grahams out there, Linda Grahams, and the faggots out there who, you know, just get off, who get this the orgasmic response with war, F off. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. To you, sir.
Well, I think it's telling and compelling in a nation when the closer we get to war, the gay bars empty around Washington, D.C., the pizza, I'm talking literal pizza now, not human pizza terms, but literal pizza places explode for their takeout. I mean, we're talking, you know, there's actually a pizza factory and a pizza factor that you can tell how close we are to war by the number of pizza order. I think that's fabulously interesting.
They actually have, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they actually have the monitors. Steve, have you seen those? Well, you have seen those monitors, monitor those things. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, when here's the thing, Doug, you and I got together after 9/11 And the thing that most people don't understand is the word treason, the word traitor. I'll give you a good example. Obama, watch what I'm going to do for Islam. Biden, he was the face of, he was nothing more than a puppet. I remember when you and I were on the air together talking about secret flights of military aircraft going into Iran with Biden's chief of staff. What was her name? Valerie Jarrett. And with pallets full of billions and billions of dollars. Okay, that was mainstream news back then. Well, forgive me, it wasn't mainstream, but you and I brought it to the mainstream. And that's a better way to say it. Now, look at where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to say this. I know this from a fact because you heard it from the president's mouth. He doesn't want people to have handguns. And Pam Bondi said that, you know, she's already gotten the legislation written waiting for his signature. The minute he does this, isn't a threat, but the minute he signs an executive order that nullifies the Second Amendment, I'm telling you what, everybody's line in the sand is that who have fought for this country, who will fight for their families, fight for their lives, and as Nehemiah said, fight for your families, fight for your sons and daughters. So in essence, the country is ready to explode. I know a lot of guys, tier one operators and stuff. I mean, there's some of the most amazing men. And Craig Sawyer is a good example of it. Man, that guy loves Jesus. He loves people. And, you know, what he puts up with, including that little piece of, you know what? Well, you already called him that in Alaska, you know, and that we won a multi-million-dollar judgment, and his little pal, the dumbass number two. Look, these people are hyenas. They're also jackals, and they will be dealt with. And you know, and this is what's interesting. When you get railroaded in the court, it's a whole different world than when you go to the court with all the legal standing in the world, and that of human effluent waste, you know, basically chuckles, you'll never get a dime from me. No, well, maybe not a dime, but you'll be surprised what it costs you in the long run. Not a threat, just a state.
No, I'll tell you what, the process is, let me say this, Steve.
Okay.
Because we haven't spoken about this topic. Yeah, I have kept this from you because I'm doing some stuff in the background. Just because, why? Well, you know, because I can.
Hey,
The process will be the punishment, my friend. Just believe that. Go ahead, sir.
I do. And here's the thing. And Doug, I want to ask you a question because I don't have an answer to this. And this isn't a trick question. How many people do you know that have openly defended you on forums or on the We Hate Hagman Quayle team? How many people do you know? And a couple of them have been on your podcast, broadcast with me even. And I don't ever hear them defending me.
Oh, no.
I mean, and can I tell you this? And people say, well, why should we defend you? Because you listen to me, because there's something when I tell, and in my attitude, I'll be honest with you, I'm fed up. And the thing is that, you know, the weenies, I've said this, everybody knows this, my least favorite song in the world is Feelings, okay? I substitute the word weenies. Remember when I said that? I even tried to sing it, but I got lost in the second stanza because I was tripped up with weenies. The whole world's filled with weenies. And what I see is moral cowardice, and when I see those skinny jean peacock pastors tattooed from their fingertips. And then guess what? I'm not saying all people have tattoos. I'm not putting that. I'm saying the pastors, they're trying to be cool. And they have a bevy of trusting Christian women. And they bet them as if the women are their personal property. And some of the biggest names and most prominent names in Christianity for a whole decade are involved in it. And they get right back in the pulpit, or they're caught with their pants down in Beverly Hills, going into Beverly Hills Hilton, you know, with some other man's wife, and obviously the man, the famous evangelist, you know, but people don't understand. If you're profane, you don't care how profane your counselors are. You don't care how evil they are. And I can tell you this. I was with one of my dearest friends today and his wife. We've known each other for 20 years, and he's exactly where I'm at, and I'm exactly where he's at. He's my dear brother. I love him. I love his wife. And the thing is that we came to the conclusion that we're Siamese twins by different mothers, okay? Because you can only arrive at conclusions based on evidence. But when the evidence is overwhelming, ladies and gentlemen, like I said to you, if people, and I asked the Lord this, and here's his answer. And Doug, this applies to my question to you. I said, Jesus, why won't anyone stand up for us? I had you in my prayer and me in mind, okay? And he says, Steve, if my people won't stand up for me, what makes you think they'll stand up for you? Bingo. But I thought, and here's the clear statement, my people. So we're not talking about the pagans, you know, that sit around and do things to each other in a manly sort of way. That, you know, basically, you know, they're hideous creatures. And when they say bottoms up, ladies and gentlemen, has a whole different meaning than the old days where you used to basically take shot glasses and put them on the bar upside down and say bottoms up. That was another name to fill my cup with more booze. And I mean, I'm telling you, even some of the people that are some of the most excellent writers on the internet, one of them made the statement. He said, look, this stuff's getting so hideous about the whole Epstein child sacrifice, human trafficking. He said he bought himself, a quart of whiskey or stayed drunk for a week because it's that damning. It's that beyond the realm of human. And so I get tired. And Doug, I'm just saying it point blank. I've had this talk with you, and the only reason I haven't pulled the plug, and ladies and gentlemen, I've been very clear to Doug. I love the show. I love the platform. People around the world wouldn't have heard it, and this is no threat. But how much more can I say? And I forgot, and I must admit this, I lose track. We get some new listeners. But I just want to thank whoever's out there that's ever stood up for me on a public forum and some of my, quote, dearest friends, some of my former friends, pastors. I have never heard them stand up. And I'll tell you this, I won't let anybody talk shit about you. I won't. And you won't do it. Let it happen to me either. But here's the thing. We let people use those words. You know, I'm not going to use the words, but that's what they do to Jesus. They will not admit. They won't even confess him before men because I've had people tell me this. Well, they'll come and get me. Actually, with that attitude, I think you're perfectly safe. You know, that they want nothing to do. When people are walking in total disrespect, denial, and you get guys like Yuval Harari, and I'm on record, I said, I wish he'd commit Harari, in other words, suicide, and you get the most demonic attacks on Jesus Christ and you church mice. Well, I would say that, you know, quiet as a church mouse, forget it. We got gnawing rats that exceed the size of New York City rats. And some of those things are the size of possums. I mean, I've seen them and not eyeball, but pictures of them. So here's the deal. And I leave this with everybody, you know, as we're going the second hour. If you won't stand up for Jesus, what will you stand up for? Do you think really when things get so tight, your food's going to be rationed? I can guarantee it. Your fuel's going to be rationed. I can guarantee it. Your water's going to be rationed. I can guarantee it. Your pharmaceuticals, whatever you need, is going to be rationed. And it's going to be on a per individual basis. You know why? Because I said it, I stand by it, and my critics can go impale sharp sticks, okay? They can go swallow, poison by the gallons. We're at a time in history where, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, and this is the most mind-blowing statement, I ponder this all the time. There's never been a time, that's a specific point in eternity, there's never been a time like this, nor would be again. And except God the Father shorten the days for the elect, okay? There'd be no human flesh left alive. And they're killing the animals. One of the most disgusting things I ever saw, and I think you and I talked about when the those wonderfully trained dogs in Iraq or Afghanistan that the dog handlers had to shoot, or the Muslims did, because, ladies and gentlemen, there's laws going to be passed that if you have a pet dog, it's going to be taken from you and shot. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that. And anybody shoot my dog, I better be better than they are from 2,000 yards away. I'm sorry, but, you know, you'll say, Doug, look, I'm only, I'm older than you are. So my days are numbered. That's not a woe is me. That's a thank you, Jesus. But what's lost on people is we're running out of time. The most precious commodity we have left. You know, when you get to be a certain age, and I know there's people that are older than me listening to this, you know, but there are your time is your most precious commodity. When you're praying, when you're with your dog, you know, those are precious moments. And my friends have two Labradoodles. Boy, do I love Labradoodles. You know, I lost mine, Cyrus, after 12 years. And seriously, when I say he was my best friend in the canine world, and they sense you, they can know you. But both of their Labradoodles love me. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And, one just rested her head on my knee. I was sitting in a chair. And the owners, my friends, said, man, she never does that. And I said, well, she knows I love her. You know, and can I tell you something? These may be, I love, and you know this, I love the animals because God gave them to us, not the genetically altered ones or, you know, the beast from the Black Lagoon. I'm talking about, and to be a helpmate and to be a comfort and to show us what unconditional love is, because human beings do not have unconditional love. I'll stand by that. We don't. Yet our dogs, you know, they do. They have unconditional love. And here's the thing. When I think of those hideous F words that killed those 100 German shepherds, I saw them. They were all laid out. I wept. Those were somebody's best friend. And because of, I think, what wasn't the story is the U.S. military wouldn't let them come back in the country with their handlers?
I believe, yeah, there was something that happened, but they were left behind with the Muslims, yep. And the course.
Yeah, and the Muslims, sorry, it wasn't the military that offed them, it was the Muslims.
Yeah.
So I'm told right now, okay, again, we're whatever, you know, the 12th of March in 2026, that plan's in effect. So ladies and gentlemen, if you don't see what's happened in New York, if you don't see what's happened to Dearborn, Michigan, and I don't understand Texans, I mean, allowing a Muslim enclave to expand, you know, in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, where is the spirit of Sam Houston? Now, I know a lot of Texans that have got testicles that are the size of basketballs, okay? They don't have weenie, I should say, the really teeny weenies, okay? And that's not a beans and franks in a can, but they got the cojones. And so what I'm saying is that I forget where it is. I should have known the scripture and I should know it by now, but all it's either in Hosea, I think, or Amos, and somebody can correct me, but all the men in the midst of thee are women. And if you think that's wrong, look at what's happened to the emasculation of the U.S. military. And I remember when Colonel Ammerman was on my radio show multiple times, you know, and telling me that in those days they were teaching certain military, I won't even name the units because, I mean, I actually don't remember them, but they were people that were deployed how to have sodomy and how to sodomize each other so the thoughts of women wouldn't interfere with the mission. James Ammerman, Colonel, said that on my broadcast. You know? So here's where we're at. Why would God spare America when we butcher the babies? Because the Bible's clear. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Whose heritage are they? Of the Lord. Jesus is telling you, a millstone around your neck in the deepest part of the ocean? you know? Well, how about the bottomless pit? You know, and all these people only live for the satisfaction of the thrill of you know, raping children, killing children. And again, Jeffrey Epstein, I'd be surprised if he wasn't Lucifer's pet, what would I call him? Pet human, because nobody's more evil than him. He made Joseph Mengele. Look, I wrote a really large section. I'm trying to think which book it was in of mine, on Dr. Ishii, I-S-H-I. So all of the little, you know, creepsters out there, go look up Unit 731, because that guy was brought to the United States, okay? Gee, interesting. Operation Paperclip, even with those type of people, given separate identities. And the guy that nobody talks about is Hans Kammermann, who had all the Nazis' advanced weapon system that they were given in seances, where ectoplasmic entities were being born out of women in real time and dictating advanced math, physics, and programs. So I don't want to hear that stuff. Of course you don't, but you'll die because you will not even do your basic study to show yourselves approved unto God. Now, I'm not saying anybody should go where you've gone, Doug, or where I've gone, okay? Because I got to tell you, it gets depressing. And the way most people brush it off, most, not all, it is, I don't have a word for it. It is, how should I say this? It only establishes that my perception of people is becoming more multiplied by the intensification of morons than it is by the intensification. God says this. Hey, this is the word of God. Go check it out. Who will rise up against, who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? Look, a lot of people can preach good sermons, but they don't stand up for Jesus. Oh, they'll stand up for Jesus in their, you know, what they call it, the pen on Sunday morning. And they'll intimate or hint, you know, and blah, blah, blah. One of my friends, he said, Steve, that was funny. 31 flavors of vomit, you know? And I thought, you know, gee, somebody appreciated my humor, you know? So it's interesting to me that I think, Doug, the reason people listen to you and listen to me, because, and not this isn't the only total reason, but we're passionate about what we believe in. We're passionate about the truth. We're passionate about standing for what's right and speaking out against what's wrong. That's not politically correct, and I'm not politically correct. And I'd just like to clear the air. I am not a Republican. I call those people zombie cons. I'm not a demon rat, okay? I am independent, and I will absolutely not identify with either of those two parties. And ever, because what I'm seeing, just different sides of the same coin. My mother, bless her heart, she made a statement. I should have really, and she said, honey, at the end, you'll find out. They're just both Republicans and Democrats. And she was a Republican precinct woman or something like that. You'll find out they're the same. And she said, one works one side of the street like a whore, you know, in the red light districts, and the others will work, and they'll flip sides of the street. But at the end of the day, they're both whores, you know. And that was really good advice. And the last thing she said to me before she died, and she was in the hospital, congestive heart failure, and they had more tubes in her than, you know, some science fiction show. She just said, I'm ready, and pulled out her tubes, and she went to be with Jesus. And I was there, not when she pulled out the tubes, but within an hour after leaving the hospital, I was there. And in essence, she loved Jesus. I made sure I was there questioning her, and God gave me great peace, okay? And peace is not something I know. Well, you should just trust him. When I hear that coming from simpletons, when I hear it coming from weenies, when I hear it coming from religious people, you cannot, there is no peace between evil and good. You cannot walk together unless you agree. And that's what's pulling this country apart. And we are a divided house. We will not stand. And that's why tonight's title is Fire and Misery and What Awaits America.
Wow. Yeah, you covered a lot of ground there, Steve. And you know, you mentioned the word profane. I think it's profane that we have, we as a country, as a nation, and our inhabitants, or the citizens of our nation, have turned a blind eye to the sins coming from the pulpits, like you had mentioned, or okay with the pulpits, the pastors, the so-called Christian churches, perverting the gospel, perverting God's word and God's presence by dressing up as in drag, okay, reading drag in pornographic books to children, allowing them to be in our libraries. Not that I'm for book banning or book burning. I'm just saying, look, you know, that there's such a thing as age-appropriate books. You know, when I was a kid, I'm sure, Steve, you were the same, when Penthouse or Playboy came out, it was always, you know, generally speaking, it was behind, either behind the counter, near the counter, or covered in some way, shape, or form. That was back in, I don't know, 60s and whatever. But you know, right now, that can be taught in any elementary school, that stuff. And it is taught. That's profane. It's not the man-made words stated, you know, with a righteous anger that's profane. That's not profanity. What's profanity is slapping the cheek of the Lord Jesus Christ or God Almighty by our actions or inactions. That's profane. By everything that we're doing right now that is against the will of God, by turning a blind eye to the missing children, that's profane. So, you know, those people who walk among us, who proclaim to be saved, who proclaim to be, you know, the followers of the gospel, if you're bitching about a word or two that's man-made, okay, and said in righteous anger, yet you are okay or otherwise blind to the larger issues, then I think you should check yourself at the door, at least in my house. Steve, back to you, sir.
Well, first of all, I would pray none of those people would come into my house, okay? I'm serious, Doug. I mean, you know, look, even in my own family, okay, extended family, you know, I've got a muzzle on, okay? Because, you know, everybody wants to be copacetic and happy. So in essence, I have to, how do I say this, strategically remove my presence from certain events because I refuse to make small talk, okay? I do. And, you know, I mean, I can tell you point blank, it happened to me on a Resurrection Sunday meal, you know, and I got into it, not because I was trying to be controversial, but somebody was asking me, one of the members of my family, the older one, not Nathan, not Tyler, but, you know, another one of my sons. And the bottom line is that I gave him my opinion. Now, I tell people, do not ask me what I think, because I'm under strict rules to keep it all, you know, what do you say, away from those subjects. Well, guess what? I just stay away from the meetings and I don't have any problem because I cannot sit and watch people pretend all is well. You know, and by the way, isn't Stephanie? Stephanie is as pragmatic as I am. And she says to me all the time, I'm just like you, Dad. She's just nicer, okay? Really nice. And the bottom line is that we're at a time period now where the words of Jesus are so true. The enemy of a man's life will be those of his own household. And there's no relationship that Jesus doesn't cover in that statement. And that's why everyone, I think the most disturbing thing I know, Doug, the most disturbing thing I know is where the persecution of the Christians, the ones who are followers of Jesus, I better say it that way, by the Christians who have all these aberrations, you know, aberrations. I'm telling you point blank, everyone, the pre-trib believers, once it gets really tough, they'll turn on those who told them there was no pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in a pre-wrath rapture. That means before God basically just says, I've had enough of this on earth. We're caught up to be with Jesus in the air on a second coming. Jesus is second coming is real. But what's going to happen, and what we're watching in the Middle East right now, is a false Armageddon, because a man of peace has to come on the scene. And they'll claim that the nuclear war, which is devastating, we've got to stop it. He will be the Antichrist. The Antichrist means in place of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what my whole position is. It's probably different, Doug, than yours, but when a whole nation refuses to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah, that spirit's the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist. And when they're looking for another, they didn't receive. Here's what Jesus said. I listened to the words of Jesus. Makes perfect sense. I came and you received me not. Another will come claiming to be me, and him you will receive. And it says in the scripture, blindness has fallen over the eyes. Because, you know, I was concerned one time. I said, Lord, all these people that are, you know, goody-goody prophets and prophetesses, they're, oh, things are going to be great, things are going to be, and one of them was just on Greg Hunter's show. We're going into a golden age. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Do you want to answer? My answer to that is, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the covetousness, because that does not apply at this point in history. Or I lived through, you know, I mean, I went to church three times a week, Assembly of God. I did that for, I don't know, 15 years, and I watched what happened to people. The prayer of Jabez, if you know what that is, he prayed, oh, that you would bless me, and the churches went wild. And so in the thing that troubles me is any church that builds a bleeping megalopolis for their believers. Let's take it like Joel Osteen's church and all the big mega churches, okay, the really big ones like his. And yet, remember when the floods came in Texas, and he wouldn't open his church to people that needed a place, a safe place to come. And what's interesting to me is this, and I think this says it all. In this day and age, what I see, it's about preachers who are hirelings building their kingdom and making a name for themselves. You know. Making a name for themselves. And where's Jesus? I'll tell you where the revival is coming, because the revival is coming. But it's going to come at the worst time in the history. It's going to come in when people are starving in America, when God brings his people together, and God knows how to separate his people from the wannabes, never were and never will be's. Okay, that's a mouthful. And he'll bring his people together. It won't be by posting notes in Sherwood Forest, if you know what that means, Robin Hood. The point being is that it will be by the Holy Spirit leading God's people. And so it doesn't, here's something else that's weird. All the prophets prophesied, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the wannabes and never will be's. They heard them all. They could study them day in and day out. They could quote them, but they didn't see he who came, Jesus, fulfilling all the prophecies. They just couldn't see it. You know why? It interfered with their agenda. And if you don't believe that's true, go read the New Testament, where it's talking about Caiaphas, the high priest, saying it's expedient for, in essence, our business venture that this man die. You know? And he was prophesying, because in essence, that's what's going on right now. And, it is such a reflection. The word of God is good at all times, everywhere, applies to everyone. In other words, you know, there are specific scriptures to Jerusalem, but there's a double fulfilling and a double meaning, because it's like people just think, well, that happened in 70 AD. No, it did not. You know, especially, well, you guys have all been talking about second coming of Jesus, or the preterists. I won't even go there. They all claim the book of Revelation's already happened. And my answer to that is, are you nuts? You know, death, hell, famine, the grave, pestilence, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then you have the four horses' rear ends of the apocalypse, okay? So most prophetic understanding, in my opinion, fits into a pack of lies versus the apocalypse. And the apocalypse of St. John simply means that there's only one worthy who is found worthy in all of heaven to open the seven seals or the seven scrolls in heaven, and that is Jesus our Lord, my Lord and Savior. And I'm tired of the denigration. And look, I understand. You know, I pray, God, can you change my heart? Change my mouth? Give me your wisdom, and then give me the power and turn me loose? Well, guess what? I guess I'm not there yet, and maybe I'll never be there. But again, Doug, it is so problematic that we can spell it out. We can lead people to it. We can direct them to it. And I get people sometimes say to me, tell me more. And I say, nope. Why? If you're a Christian, you should tell me everything you know. No, because what I've told you, you've done nothing with, okay? And so that's my question, everybody. Well, I've been a follower of yours for 20 years. I say to those people, you made a mistake. My whole ministry, life, whatever you want to call it, calling, has been put people in the hands of Jesus. And then I love the weasel-worded wicked ones that will infer that they may know Jesus, but they'll never speak his name, okay? You know why? It condemns them. The name of Jesus. Look, when I speak Jesus' name, I think of what Jesus said, you know. You've got to love your enemies. And I said, Lord, I don't even like them. Help me. You know, I don't. I mean, I'm not going to come on and say, oh, I've just reached the, you know, the pinnacle of perfection. The nice thing about being saved from the gutter like I was is they who have been forgiven much love much. That's not excusing my sin. It's not trying to get away with sin. It's acknowledging my sin. And, you know, look, I have feet to play, and, well, I'm just human. I don't even like that statement because I've said to the Lord, couldn't I have been made, you know, differently? I mean, I didn't want to be created in original sin, but Jesus delivered me. So the deliverance of Jesus transcends everything that's gone on in our lives, all the hurts, all the wounds, all the abandonments, all the betrayals. You know, I was good, and I'm not called to be a pastor. I tried it for a year. I would just say this, it was a disaster on steroids beyond anything. And I allowed a big, tall cowboy, who was almost 6'9", his first name was Craig, to talk me into it, okay? And in those days, and I'm talking 30 years ago, and I found out that's not my calling. And yet, I want people to understand, when someone says we're going into the golden age, when someone says, and he's supposedly a prophecy teacher, when someone has made a right call, you know, that gold and silver are going to go up, you know, these are what I call Johnny come latelys, yet that people think that, you know, we're in a new revelatory period. Yeah, it's called sin, and it's called judgment, and it's called the righteous indignation of God. And without the fear of the Lord, men won't depart from evil. There is no fear of God. There is no reverence for Jesus. And the weasel in the pulpits, you know, wood piles maybe, you know, they will not speak the name of Jesus because you know why? It condemns them. They know how much is in this, that, and the other thing. And it's like the Church of God, the Assembly of God. You know, you get to so many years of preaching, you won so much money for the church. They always tithe up, okay? Then you get your, it's kind of like Mary Kay. They don't give you a pink Cadillac, but they give you a Cadillac. You get so much a month, the year in retirement. And now you get the, you know, the pat on the back. Well done, thou good and faithful. What would you call it?
Not servant.
Salesman. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody wants a promotion. And what you know, we hear in the scripture, okay? I refer to the Bible. Somebody says, you're a Bible thumper. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a Bible foundational guy. It's only the word of God that has changed me from being one of the biggest scoundrels. And I would have been one of the biggest, I won't say it, but I would have been a problem. And Jesus changed me. And I don't know why he called me. I still scratch my head, and then I remember the scripture. Paul said, "You know, I want to comprehend the reason that God apprehended me." Same thing with you. Okay, you were this. You still are an investigator. But look at you. Never wanted to be a talk show host. I never wanted to.
Still don't.
Yeah. And I you took the words right out of my heart. And I say, God, please, Lord. Please. And then he told me, he said, Steve, the decision for you will be made that you won't have to ask me to take you off the air. And yes, I pray that because they'll pass laws. And Doug, I've been saying this, the time we can stay on the air, broadcast, podcast, it's going to be limited. And they're a very short time. I kind of think it's within 6 months. I could be wrong. This is me. This isn't thus saith the Lord. Our voices will be silenced because we are already turning in to a totally mind-controlled, mind-captivated world where free thinking will not exist. You will be terminated. You'll be terminated. I'll be terminated. And why is it here? Okay, now I'm going into second gear, okay? By the way, I used to drive a Porsche 911 twin turbo, and actually it was 930. And the second gear I could get to, I think it was 90 or 95, okay? And so I drove around pretty much in second gear. And I don't think people recognize the speed at which all of our freedoms have ended. You don't have the right to, you don't have any of the rights, and you only have the right to exist. So what happens, Doug, have you thought this through? I'm sure you have. When they come and say, deny Jesus, no food. Deny Jesus, no hospital care. Deny Jesus, no house. Oh, you owe taxes? Deny Jesus, you can't pay your taxes. Even if you have... So everybody's got to be thinking about this. You know, I can't keep myself. Only Jesus can keep me. I can't stand in my own strength. I can only stand in his strength. I've got to trust him. And by the way, I know in my own life, and you've seen it with your own eyes, it was the Lord, obviously, that protected me from being destroyed. He brought you into my life. You were very instrumental in that. And believe me, I wasn't quoting the Quran. You know, I mean, it was those who were quoting that were going to do me in. And a couple of them, teams, came to Bozeman, and they got taken out by I would call it overreach or oversight. You know, in essence, God protected me, but you, my brother, saw it firsthand. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know about our friendship, I told Doug, I said, Doug, you told me, I think you told me that you were tightening the circle of trust, and then I responded to you, yeah, Doug, my circle of trust is at the end of a pen, okay? In other words, it's not a very big circle, because how many people, I got to tell you something, BFFs, are BSEs, okay? Best friends forever. That's bullshit forever. BSFEs, okay? And what I think is preposterous is that if you see the flippancy, if you see the what's the word I want? The irrelevancy of those kind of statements. You know, when somebody makes that, I'll say, I give them less than 6 months. You know, because all these people that, and I'm not on Faces of Death book. And by the way, I don't believe I said a more accurate statement than that. I was kicked off of YouTube before anybody else was. I went from 1 billion hits a year on my website. That was a lot, down to, you know, tens of millions. That's still a lot. But I was the most censored man on a shortwave, you know. I was the most censored man every place, and I was absolutely, they would parade, they, the authorities, would parade out experts when I talk about suitcase nukes, and you know, I would talk about red mercury. That wasn't mercury that you pour red food coloring in. I would talk about how easy it was to get atomic bombs, and you know, obviously that upset some people, but it was the truth. And so what I want people to understand now, we are at a nuclear countdown of 30 seconds and counting. I don't mean 30 seconds from now it goes nuclear, but last night we were 5 minutes away from it going nuclear. The first atom bomb that goes off, no matter who sets it off, will change the history of the world forever. None of our lives will ever be the same. And when the economic collapse happens, I you know, share, okay, as when you think about the economic collapse, when you think about all the people in the streets, when you think about the abandonment of our own military, and I've been a veterans advocate for decades, I was one that telling them, well, you know where all these veterans are disappearing to? They're being systematically taken out. That means they're being killed. I don't know how people can not understand something. The reason why the veterans have had war against them is because they're the only trained fighters that can resist, okay? Because they're trained to resist. And, you know, God bless the guys who have training, like Craig Sawyer and others, you know, because, I mean, they know what to do. But Craig is one of the nicest men I've ever met. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, he's a warrior, but he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And that's true. That's not flattery. It's Craig. And so, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have the funds to help people that are rescuing children, you know, help Doug, help Vets for Child. Is it Vets for Child Rescue?
That's right. V4CR, yep, Vets for Child Rescue.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know of a more worthy man to receive real funding. Now, look, I've given weasels money in the past only to find out. I wish my discernment was better. You know, I really do. I've had friends that were Klingons. My dear friend Romy Zaret, she's gone to be the Lord. She prayed for me every day of her life for 20 years. She called hangers-on Klingons, okay? Thought, how appropriate. Klingons, they cling to you, Doug, for what you can do for them. But, and I'm not talking about your special people that you have your meetings
with. No, I get that.
Yeah, but most people, ladies and gentlemen, don't understand. You know, look, Doug doesn't have a benefactor who, you know, is one of the richest men in the world. Some people do. You know, I don't. And again, I'm not griping. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you this, that I can't walk with people that are developing their own AI programs and you know, are coming up with their own theology. I can't. I won't. You know, and for the record, I have addressed it with the individuals. I don't have any axe to grind with any other fellow, the guys you and I know that you were on their shows, I was on their shows. Let them do what God has called them to do. But I can tell you this, we're watching, here's a good word for you, Doug, weaselification, people turning into weasels at an unparalleled rate, okay, in my opinion. Jackals and hyenas, I think that, by the way, that was a game in ancient Egypt. But the plot was always the same. You wanted to avoid the jackals and hyenas because they tear wounded animals apart and they eat them in packs. You know, a pack of wolves. And anybody who thinks the wolves are nice and friendly, oh, isn't it good we introduced him into the wilderness of Montana? No, I've watched from a helicopter and a hover with the most sophisticated camera system. Not bragging, watched how wolves attack bison. And they attack elk. They come in them from behind. They take their hind quarters down. They just, in essence, the animal becomes paralyzed. And then they eat the bison or the elk alive. Well, it sounds like the Epstein files to me. You know, I've watched it, Doug. I'm talking about literal wolves, okay? And yet, where's the outrage? Well, there can't be any outrage because there's no moral basis for the outrage. There's only silence. You know, I got mine. And I want yours, and I just want to go away and get away. Well, here's the deal. That stands only in this life. It sure doesn't ensure the next life. Go ahead, sir.
Again, you went through a lot of things. And you know, you had mentioned about the environment in which we survive right now, the podcasting broadcasters. That environment certainly has changed over the years. And I've noticed a couple of things. Number one, I've noticed that you have today's influencers, and I use that word because that's the word used to describe certain people, certain platforms, influencers who are broadcasters. And when what I see is an audience in search of desiring the truth, yet among that audience are people who are not really looking for the truth, but a truth that confirms their own biases. Okay, now folks, think about that for a second. If you tune into a broadcast and you know what, it just, oh, they're talking about heaven and Jesus and that's the only way and the perversion of society. But the very same audience, you know, hears something again that will confirm their biases that won't draw that line in the sand. Well, wait a second. Speaking of lines in the sand, why are lines being drawn in the sand? Have you ever thought about that? Because, gee, what does it take to, you know, to cover up that line and make a new line in the sand? No, it should be done in concrete. But the majority of podcasters, broadcasters, influencers, they're auditioning they're auditioning for an audience. They're not speaking the truth. They're not searching for the truth. They're auditioning because why? Because, hey, clicks, make some money. It social influencers receive a revenue sharing plan. And, you know, Lord knows that's the driver of a lot of subject matter. And lastly, I don't believe, you had mentioned something else. I don't believe that we as humans, and this speaks to the greater topic tonight. I don't believe that we as humans can have the ability to, or otherwise, well, I think it's profane to think that we can push prophecy upward, you know, move it closer.
Right.
If that's what's happening right now, then I think this in some areas it is, then those are the profane. Those are the ones who are blaspheming God. Those are the ones who are killing or responsible for advancing this genocide, this eugenics program, very conveniently so, against all of our nations, all of our Christians. And you're right, Steve, lastly, you know, you mentioned about pretty soon he won't be able to own a dog. It's already happening right now, Bibles, dogs, anything that has to do with Christianity. And we saw that. When did we see that starting? It wasn't this year. It wasn't last year. It wasn't 2 years ago. It was a long time ago that we saw this moving. And, you know, more recently, think about what happened under Biden, how that Biden regime, through its communist love of communist Marxism, communism, and Islam, they had to rip down the statues. They had to censor. And lastly, the people right now who are talking and writing, isn't it interesting that the biggest hypocrites of all, the biggest people who said, we need to protect our First Amendment rights and our Second Amendment rights. And by the way, the Second Amendment is under attack by this regime, this administration, the Trump. They hate the Second Amendment, or people within this administration hate it. You can see that by the laws going in, as well as the governors hate it. But lastly, Steve, it's, we're watching right now a bunch of wussies out there on our side. You can't pass the SAVE Act. Well, we're going to bring it for a vote. Wait a second. You got to take care of the filibuster first. Well, no, that's all performative crap, folks. Okay, you're watching a play. So yes. I'll end my segment by just saying this, Steve, and back to you, is simply this. If you're looking for a bias or a confirmation to your bias, don't look here. If you're looking for an addition to an audience, don't look here. I am not going. We, Steve, and I are not trying to sell you on anything, but we will tell you on things that we have knowledge of. End of story. Steve, back to you, sir.
Well, again, Doug, just as in real time, I'm meeting this 14 hours ahead. Okay, on my email, I've got two screens open, so if you see my eyes drifting. And the withdrawing of funds from anything related to U.S. Treasury, bills, bonds, or notes from the people that are owed trillions, actually approaching $250 billion. I remember when I was the first guy to say that. They were talking about, well, maybe the derivatives. Now, I'm talking 20 years ago. And, well, maybe it's a multi-billion dollar. Then he said, well, it's probably $1 trillion. Well, I came on the scene, and obviously I've been on talk radio long enough, and those of you who have been with me 30-plus years know that I said it. It's a $250 billion problem. Tonight, as we're on the air, Deutsche Bank, which owns the most derivatives in the world, Germany can't sell the amount of bonds they need to keep their government going. So the sanctimonious, self-righteous sanctions that we put on everybody in Russia, China, that's bogus. You think there's a free enterprise, free market? No, there's not. And I don't care what anybody says. The terrible tariffs have destroyed the country. Here's why. You can't tell someone who's on the street eating sandwiches one meal a day, sleeping in their cars, maybe having a gym membership so they can shower, that, you know, oh, things are going to get better. Well, you can't tell them that trillions of dollars in future revenue is going to help them now. You can't tell someone who's just lost their job and they're facing eviction from their home and they can't feed their kids. You can't tell them, well, things are going to get better in the future. Meanwhile, launching, you know, this project and that project, $50 billion a day is being spent today by a government that's broke. So the Middle East nations, this is in real time, Doug, and I want to read this right now. May I? Because I think it's important. This was coming in real time from 14 hours ahead. Yeah, all the rich Middle East countries are pulling out USA investments, including banks and big tech, okay? Now, big tech deals, the banks hold, but with the loss of Middle East wealth, the support for the loans will still land on the banks and not on the Middle East investors. One of the reasons for the curious, unique form of investment by Muslims is because by Islamic law, in the lending of money and such things, strictly, no interest charge. But wait, they take it on the other end. But by investing in a derivative bond, they bypass the Islamic law and earn money in the transaction. But it also puts the banks who hold the primary loans at high risk. Okay, let me give you a good example. This is real in time tell from somebody who works for a security agency in a big manner. Not, somebody who's a security agent, but someone who oversees their work. He told me that today's Thursday, so it may have been Tuesday, that his company was told they need to provide literally dozens of security guards for Bank of America, but it was only going to last for 30 days. So by April 3rd, this is a real date, their need for security will be no more. Well, I'll tell you why. If I said that to you, why would a bank only need security for 30 days? What would you say? And I mean, it's not a trick question. I mean, I'll tell everybody the answer.
Do tell.
They don't expect. Yeah, they don't expect to be around longer than 30 days, okay? B of A, Wells Fargo, all of the big five are in big, they're in deep trouble. And so what is profoundly disturbing is the only way America can fund its debt is by the word monetizing our debt. That's like, Doug, you owe $100,000, you got $10,000 in your pocket, you move the $10,000, the $100,000, and because of some cash, you feel rich, okay? We're living on borrowed time, borrowed money, and the only thing that's being talked about behind the scenes, and I know there's a lot of silver experts out there, gold experts, guys who sell more gold and silver than I do, guys who are, there's just a lot of them. But it's like today I got an email, gold broke $4,200. Well, that's a mass mailing. I mean, where were you when it broke $5,200? So everybody's an expert on gold in retrospect. But why this is critical is because gold and silver are beating, the S&P, they're beating the Dow. And what it gives and what it gives to everybody is the fact that you have something in your pocket you can exchange for food. I'm telling you where the food's going to be available. It's going to be available on the black market. A black market's a free market. So once the free market, I'm saying a free market, F-R-E-E, not a flea market, F-L-E-A. But maybe that's a better statement, because most people who want to live free will have to flee from the stock market, because Operation Sandman, here's what's critical. When the U.S. dollar is repudiated, and I asked my friend in international banking, I said, how long does it take for that to happen? He said, how long does it take to press a stroke on the keyboard? I said, well, pretty fast. For me, probably longer, because I got to find it and then smash it with my fist because I forgot where the JKL were. And he said, Steve, in a nanosecond, that decision will be made. That means anything denominated in U.S. dollars will cease to exist. Everything, Doug, everything that's written, insurance policies, IRAs, KEOs, 401ks, and I call those 401 government takeaways. But the point being is, and I don't blame them. Look, I have friends that want everything to remain as the same. And people, there's a scripture that says, all things remain the same. Where is the promise of a second coming, Because as long as it's normal, it's normal. But it's only normal until it isn't. I think that's a profound statement. It's only normal until it isn't. And I don't know the actual time. Somebody could look it up. But the time it takes you to, what's that called? That what I'm doing with my fingers there, I actually don't know the word, but the point is that's how fast it's over. And when that happens, and I'm doing a private briefing for my subscribers, and ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get that private briefing, you're really losing out on open source intelligence. And what somebody told me, did I say this on your show? I don't mean to be redundant, but our last private briefing. No, you told me that.
Yeah, I did. I remember. Go ahead.
And one of my friends who left that world said, do you know how much stuff they take of yours? Do you know what they say? How can he get better intelligence than we get? And it's open source, okay? OSINT, O-S-I-N-T. It's because Everybody is being lied to. We're a kingdom of lies. Our truth and our hunger for truth, the American way, you know, Superman's theme. I remember watching George Reeves standing with an American flag in a Superman suit. And what did it say? Truth, something in the American way, you know? I mean, the days of that are over because a kingdom of lies dies. And listen, I love my country. I love the country that was. I love the fact that we had freedom. I love that it wasn't anything, no denominator, or not denominator. What's it called when you put a word in front of another word?
Modifier.
Modifier. Okay. There was no such thing as Afro-Americans. There was no such thing. Everybody was an American because it stood for something. And in the book of Jeremiah, I preached it. I've taught it. And I'm not as a professional preacher. Look, I'm not a preacher. I'm a businessman. That's what I do. Paul sold, made tents. I sold gold and silver, books, videos. That's how I support. And that's how the ministry that God's given me is supported. I'm not a minister, you know, and some guy sent me from Africa, of course. And I'm saying that kind of with a little bit of disdain, as a preacher to a fellow preacher said, I forget his name. I said, look, I'm not a preacher. I know exactly. He said, you really need to hear about my ministry. You know what that is? Hands out. You know what I'm saying? Hands out. And I said, no, sir, I don't have time. But more importantly, sir, I don't care. Because here's the thing, I can't mind every mind, yeah, no mind. I can't look after everybody else's sheep, you know, and I'm not a shepherd, but I am a sheep dog. And, you know, in essence, I'm concerned with the people you and I have grown up with, the people that have supported you, supported me, supported us. That's what my prayers are for. Not the shills and the people that go on whatever you think, that thing that runs up and down your screen. And I won't, I don't have the time to answer the thousand questions. Well, tell me this. No, I won't tell you anything because you need to do your own homework. And I love the term time bandits. You know, we're told to redeem the time, not answer never ending questions from never ending aimlessly. I won't even post any more articles. This one guy, I forget his name, and he goes by different names, steals other people's stuff, puts a different title on it, and finally got wise to it because there's a guy that watches for him. And you know, it's gotten to that. They want clicks and they accuse me of clickbait. These people will, and I had another one, you know, why don't you post my articles? I said, why don't you post ads for my show, you know? Well, because it's all one-sided, you know? And I call them mind-sucking. Well, I better not go with that word. But let me say this. Mind-sucking parasites, okay? Everybody wants somebody do it for them. And so influencers, well, what do you do to be an influencer? Number one, you probably get if you're a woman, you get a boob job. You have plastic surgery. You pretend you're living the life of the rich and famous. Some of them are very famous and very rich. But the point is that what are they influencing? Gee, watch me in Monte Carlo. By the way, I went to Monte Carlo when I was younger in Europe, and I got kicked out of the casino, you know, and it's just because I didn't have my tux. And those days, it was very prestigious, okay? So I walk in, I'm going to throw some money in a slot machine. I think I won 100 francs, you know, or some silly amount, and they escorted me out. And I wasn't causing any trouble, but I wasn't one of them, okay? And so what I'm saying is the influencers, what are they influencing? How many women can spend the money and we have this idealized a picture because we're told this is beauty, this is ugliness, you know, that really fits, by the way, in the Democratic women, in my opinion, you know, at least Fox News. And I'm saying this since I think they're the only ones that figured it out that men will listen to a pretty woman versus an ugly woman, okay? And that is a psychological statement. I had a 4-star general in special ops, active, not retired, tell me, Steve, a woman who's trained can get closer to any man, honeypots, okay, than any man could ever get. They can get information while they're servicing him. And we had a famous, what was he, a representative that got compromised. Do you remember the guy that was being seduced by a communist Chinese? Do you remember that?
Yeah, which one besides Eric Swalwell, you know, Fang Fang Bang Bang, yep. Love you long
he
time.
He got more bang for the Chinese buck. Oh, that's so offensive. It's real. Suck it up. And then the, I'm sorry to say it, ladies and gentlemen, but you're watching the horrification along with the glorification of endless wars. And God's going to put an end to it. But I want to say this, Doug, and again, I'm not trying to sound like a broken record, but America, the very scripture that I had Eric put up, and thank you again, Eric, is so accurate. At what point does God speak concerning a nation? To build up, if they do that with right in sight, or destroy if it does wrong in sight? I don't believe a holy God that destroys Sodom and Gomorrah for what they did, or Tyre or Sidon. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, like it or not, Tel Aviv has been Gazacated. Gaza, G-A-Z-A-I-C-A-T-E-D. It's been bombed to rubble. It's so destroyed that to take a picture of it as an Israeli citizen and send it outside of the country is a 5-year mandatory prison sentence. Oh, yeah, they got freedom of the press. You know, 5-year. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching Canada denigrate the I got to turn that off. I'm sorry about that, everybody. Denigrate the word of God, the Bible. And that, I love it, the president or whatever, prime minister of Canada is named Carney for, basically it fits him perfect. Carney used to be a term for a carnival huckster, okay? It also used to be the name for, oh, good night, carnal, you know? If someone was really carnal, they called him a carny. Well, carnal is not spiritual, and he's declared war on Christians. He's declared war on preachers. He's declared war on people praying. What kind of a freaking nation like is happening in not so Great Britain, that would throw a woman in jail for praying silently on a sidewalk? Notice there's a woman, too. I mean, if all the men in the Mississippi are women, Scripture says that, and so, well, that doesn't apply to America. Are you kidding? It applies perfectly to America. And yet the women who have shown the most boldness, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I like her a lot. I like her. And you know, people say, well, you know, listen, when you put someone forth, and that person you put forth, in her case, President Trump, and they turn on you with such vehemence, vile. And she had that. I think she said, Doug, you can correct me, but 750 death threats? 750.
I'm sure it's up there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there. So, and Thomas Massey, I mean, you know, these are the two persona non gratas, but in my book, they're the two persona, the truth. God will always have somebody in the midst of the kingdom of lies and the going along to get along just all the way to hell. He'll always have somebody that will speak for him. And God bless you, my brother, and God bless the work and ministry of all who speak his truth. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. You know, and the nothing that devil hates more than the name of Jesus. Nothing. Because with the name of Jesus, he knows his time is short. He's got 42 months. I categorically reject a 7-year tribulation. Categorically reject it. It's not in the scriptures. Times and a half. 42, 42, 42. There's no 84s mentioned. You know, it's Daniel's 70th week. And Messiah was cut off halfway through 70. That's 35, 36, depending on whose calendar, you know. So while everybody is splitting hairs, I want people to understand this. You can argue with anybody over any theological program you want. I want to see someone who can pray and get people healed, really healed. I want to hear someone who lifts up Jesus. So somebody listens to you, Doug, or me, said, God, the Lord literally touched my heart and I felt convicted. I said, that's not because of what I say. It's not because of what Doug said. But I said, we lift up Jesus and it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring you to him. I hope I never have to say this again, But there is nothing that the contemporary Christian projection that would draw anybody unless they're preaching Jesus. And I'll say it again. I'll keep saying it until I'm no longer on earth and speak. If you're in a assembly claiming to be a church, they won't talk about prophecy. They won't lift up the name of Jesus. They are more concerned with theatrical presentation than the gospel. If they don't teach people to repent, if they don't teach people how to pray, if they don't open services with more than what I call a sermonette prayer, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Bless us in every way. Amen. You know? Amen. Or you know, you want to come to a church picnic? I'll give you a definition of every church picnic or potluck I've ever. I'd say, man, I understand why they call it potluck, because it reminds me of Conan the Barbarian movie, because it's going to take a lot of luck for them to put anything in the pot to eat. I actually knew a preacher that would contact Schwann's or a company that sold food door to door, and he thought he got a deal on some wonderful steak that had been out of, what do you call, out of date for a year. I'm telling you, this is a true story. The meat was so tough, and the knives at the potluck, and I call them now good luck meals. I won't go to one, okay? Because everybody, with the exception of some people who knew how to feed their family right, would give Jell-O with cottage cheese. And how does this get for detail? And the meat was so tough, you know, you might as well have pulled off your shoe and, you know, put ketchup on it and tried to eat the shoelaces. So my wife, God bless her, she carries a pocket knife, you know. And so we were passing her pocket knife around the table. They had like these little round tables, probably, I don't know, six or eight people at them. So everybody could cut their meat. And I told them, my pastor, I said, Chuck, never do that again. I said, if you're going to feed the people of God, you feed them the best. Take them out to dinner, you know. Don't feed them secondhand or castaway food. And from that point on, Doug, I promise you, I never went to a pot. I used to call it actually pot of death, okay? Because, you know, I couldn't believe it. Now, somebody says, well, how is that relevant? Simple. We give Jesus our best. God has given us his best. Who's Jesus? And if God's best isn't good enough to stick up for, to stand up for, to follow the ministry, not because we build a name for ourselves, we build a name for him, you know? And so when I get people say, oh, I've been a follower of yours for 20 years, I said, big mistake. I said, in 20 years, I've said, follow Jesus. And for the record, everyone, I've never said, follow me or listen to me. I said, take it to the Lord in prayer. And I got to tell you something. Most people say, well, I take it to the Lord in prayer and doesn't answer me. I said, then you need to have a transformational encounter with Jesus Christ. So, Doug, we're running out of time. So, again, just to put this into perspective, 5 minutes from a North Korean nuclear-tipped ballistic missile that could have and was getting ready. I don't know what God obviously is in control, but would have wiped the majority of Israel out with a 3-megaton nuclear weapon. Again, what's obvious, what happened in Iran was they took all their old missiles and launched them. And what was happening is $2 million Patriot missiles, which they don't have an infinite supply of, were taking out $100,000 drones, okay? So what the basic battle plan was, get the West to use all their state-of-the-art stuff by using throwaway drones or missiles. And when they're out, when they're out of missiles, then we send in our powerful stuff. There's nothing to stop it. Nothing. And you can't take out hypersonic missiles with F-16s, F-22s, or F-35s. You can't do it. None of our missiles, air-to-air, were designed for hypersonic missiles. And, you know, again, I would say this. The Defense Department tonight should look long and hard. You should look at your inventory. You should look at a blackboard. Does one time supersonic, okay, 750 miles an hour roughly at sea level versus altitude, hypersonic, 7,000 miles an hour. So, you know, is basic math, is 750 greater than 7,500. And, you know, I guarantee you, if it were possible, the Jeopardy theme song would play in the background. Do, 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 do. You know, and Doug, I promise you, something simple like that is so far over the understanding of the people that will not tell the truth. They will not tell the truth. And, you know, look, we're being taken. KC-135 tanker went down, okay? KC-135 tanker. That's what fuels, obviously, our jets, our bombers. And we only have so many of them. But I'm telling you, I knew this day would come. I'm on record. I did so many programs about it. And I used to do 3 hours a day until I decided, how dumb can I be and still live? You know, and then I went to two, and then I went to finally to one. But here's the thing. I said the day will come when the Americans will need their Air Force and their airplanes will fall from the sky. God didn't tell me they just, you know, quit flying and quit spraying the death spray from above. But all of our military excellence has been superseded because we quit being concerned with so much of it under the different administrations that were traitors, you know, traitors, T-R-A-I-T-O-Rs, or maybe traitors trading the freedom and the liberty, selling out to the enemy. Look, we have pure treason, and you brought up Brennan converting to Islam. So is he going to be sympathetic to Christians, or is he going to be at war with Christians? And everybody in the national security establishment, every single one, bore false witness against President Trump because they listened to lies. The Steele dossier was designed to take away the Chinese influence and control of our political elite, okay? And we learned, not that they learned it from us, but it was cheaper to spend $1 billion than lose $10 billion in aircraft in a nuclear war. And I quote the Chinese, Shenping, real guy, CCP, high-ranking member, with our bioweapon, COVID-19, we destroyed the West. Well, he wasn't lying. And one of the CCP members said, we've been an empire for thousands of years. We're certainly not going to be taken by surprise by, you know, however many years. He said 200, whatever, 300 years, whatever. And, you know, they're not lying. And I heard another one say this. You Americans think you own your country? And here's his exact words. We own you. And they do. We don't produce anything in manufacturing. Look, if you tell the truth nowadays, it's a revolutionary act. Because, again, to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I can't get that statement of his. He was martyred by the Nazis for his stand for Jesus Christ. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And if you think keeping silence will keep you from evil, it'll come faster than you can imagine. So we're at a point where the lies, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay, but don't say something 30 minutes and then take it away 30 minutes later, okay? You can't say Iran blew up its own school. And look, I'm not justifying anything Iran is doing. I'm justifying the principle of lying versus telling the truth. That's all I'm saying. Thou shall not bear false witness. Well, that's irrelevant because God said it, you know. Now we'll take the 10 humanistic commandments, you know. You are your own God. No one you need to answer to. Do whatever thou willest to whoever you want to, you know, satanic thing. And you see all these, let me say this in closing. You see all of those Super Bowl halftime shows. They're, every one of them is occult based. Everyone is casting a spell. I don't care. You know, I'm on record. I've never watched a Super Bowl game in my life, nor have I ever watched a basketball or a baseball through my, you know, maybe World Series once when I was like 15 years old. But the point is that all the halftime shows are evil, and the head of the NFL, National Football League, okay, or National Forever Luciferians, make the statement to all of the players that would thank Jesus, you will never say that name of Jesus again. Remember the big fight over that? And there was a fight over it. So if